lesson is going to be over forgiveness. I bring this lesson to you because it's something that I've had to study very deeply. I'm not very good at forgiveness. I was putting this together, and got to start thinking about the people that I've held stuff against. And a while back, there was somebody that said something very hurtful to me. I held it against them for over 10 years. I would talk to them. I would have a conversation with them, but I still held it against them. Once I would see them, what they did wrong would just replay my mind. And it's something that I dwelled on. It began to grow over time. And that hatred, you know, you think of the incident of what happened and you keep playing it in your mind. And for some reason, for me, it gets a little bit worse each time I replay it. And it gets more hurtful. And so I had a very hard time forgiving this person. And I finally did. And moved past, and we ended up getting along, but I mean, 10 years is a long time to hold something against somebody, so I have a problem. So this is what we're going to study this morning. I hope there's something beneficial said that you can further take and further study and apply it to your lives, and I thank you, Brother Britt, for the prayers on my behalf. When I get up here, I know I always need them. We're going to look at how should we approach biblical forgiveness. First one we're going to look at is that we're not going to think about this incident anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31 says 30 through 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We must put these evil thoughts out of our mind. You know, if we can't begin to forgive somebody if we're always bringing up that situation and it keeps on coming back to us. Every time I see Brother Zane, all I can think about is the time that he kicked me in the shin, you know, and I'm never going to be able to move past that. I'm sorry, Zane, Britt's not here, so I have to pick on you. Britt's usually my scapegoat, but since he's not here, you're going to have to do it for today. But every time I see see Zane, I'm not going to be able to move past that, because if I'm always thinking about it, if it's something that's always there, he's going to be the one, you know, every time I see him, it's going to pop up. And what if we don't take that incident and remove it from our minds to the best of our ability? Like I said before, in my case, that whenever somebody says something very hurtful to you, or somebody kicks you in the shin, you think on those things and begins to grow. And next thing you know, he kicked you twice, or he said words that, you know, in your mind are a whole lot worse, or that maybe they didn't say exactly, but you keep replaying it and it just gets worse and worse. It continues to grow. You just pour gasoline onto the fire the more that you think about it. But it's not good enough just to take that incident, remove it from your mind about that person. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43 through 45 says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation." What if I don't have anything good to think about Brother Zane? So every time I see him, all I'm going to think about is the time that he kicked me in the shin. We have to replace that evil thought with a good thought. And trust me whenever I tell you that everybody has a good trait that you can think about them. I've known some of the foulest people that claim to be human beings. And they all have at least one good trait that you can think about them. We have to take those good traits that those people have, even though they've done us wrong. We need to think about them instead of the wrong that they've committed towards us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." I want you to imagine a world where this is what we do. A world that we don't put the bad thoughts and think ugly towards other people, that we just think good thoughts. Think about how lovely your communication with others would be. I know some people that wouldn't have anything to think about or to talk about if they did this right here. Think on those things that are true and honest and just. Next, we're going to look at running our mouths, I guess would be the best way to put it. Once you learn to control your thoughts, and it's not a concept that I'm very familiar with, we can control our bodies. We can choose not to do that bad habit. We can also control our minds. We can choose not to think and dwell on those things that people have done us wrong. And next, we need to not talk about them towards others. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15, says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will hear thee not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that is, the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." The example of how we're supposed to talk through a situation. How many times have you seen this situation completely flip-flopped? How many times have you seen somebody have a problem with someone and they go tell all their friends? Say they leave out the church part and they go tell all their friends about the troubles that they're having with so-and-so. When I got back home, I joined the Briscoe Fire Department. There's a lot of people. Growing up, I didn't know a whole lot of people in Briscoe. I mainly stayed with the Allison bunch. So I didn't know a lot of people in Briscoe, and so I would ask the guys, you know, well, why isn't so-and-so on the fire department? And that was the wrong thing to ask, because they would tell you the whole family history of that person, what they've done wrong, why they're not on the fire department. I say, well, what about old so-and-so? And he goes, oh, no, we don't go there. We don't. He's kin to so-and-so, and we don't trust so-and-so because he's a thief, and he'll steal everything that we've got. So, he's not going to, can't do that. I'm like, okay. We go and tell all of our friends about the wrong that somebody's committed. How hard is it to seek forgiveness from somebody whenever you've done them wrong? How hard is it to seek forgiveness from somebody who's not in the church? Now, how hard is it to seek forgiveness from the whole community? Because that's who's going to know about the situation whenever you run your mouth. We call it today gossiping, and that's pretty much the second point that we're going to be talking about is gossiping. Gossip doesn't have to be a lie. It can be cold, hard facts. It can be the truth. Do we have any business spreading that around to other people whenever other people aren't even involved in the situation? How hard is it to seek forgiveness whenever everybody knows and they're going to hold it against that person? I mean, we're taking ruining somebody's name to a whole nother level. There's people in Briscoe that I hardly even know that I don't necessarily trust because of what I've heard other people say about them. Never even met them. Yeah, I know who they are. I know their name. I never have said more than 5 or 6 words to them. For what everybody tells me, I don't want to. Is that rightly judging somebody? Just because one person didn't forgive them 10 years ago, their name is ruined. And you are, and whenever you go and meet that person, you already have an idea of what they are without ever even saying a word to them. We need to understand the impact our words have on people and their relationships. Proverbs 11, verse number 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is faithful in spirit concealeth the matter." Conceal it. That word means to bury and bury deep. Is it anybody else's business? No. Does anybody else need to know about it? No. Don't run your mouth. Somebody does something wrong to you, keep it in between you and that person. Other than that, keep your trap shut. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins." In Proverbs 10, 12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." We should show love and do our part to cover sins. We don't need to further drag people through the mud. And that's exactly what we do. We take that one wrong thing that they've done to us and we turn everybody that we talk to about it against them. We just take them and their name and we just smear them through the mud. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Whenever we mess up, it weighs on us. Consider how much greater that burden is when everybody knows about it. We can help to bear someone else's burden by not talking about the wrongs that were committed. Third thing we're going to look at is not bringing up the incident again. Once we've forgiven somebody, we need to move on. We need to treat it as it never happened. And while we look at this point, I want you to consider Christ. I want you to consider His blood and what it does for us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is Christ teaching us how to pray. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I want to ask you, would you like Christ to forgive your trespasses the same way that you forgive others theirs? I pray that God doesn't hold something against me for 10 years. Because that's what I did to that person that trespassed against me. I hope and pray that He forgives my sins, every single last one of them, because I guarantee you, I've done a lot worse in my life than what anybody has ever done to me. What if we don't, though? I mean, our mind usually works as we forgive somebody until they do something to us again. And then that thing that they did from the beginning just rolls right back up and we remember it. And we hold that plus the one they just committed against them. Twofold. And then it happens again. Several years down the road, 10, 20, 30 years down, you're on your deathbed. That person comes in there and calls you a mean boy. Zane comes in there and kicks you in the knee while you're on your deathbed. Now you have five or six things that you just think about Zane. You just, all that time, you just... Just rolls over, right? Just rolls over. I kind of starting to sound like the Old Testament, if you ask me. Just rolls over that sin. It was imperfect for them. It's imperfect for us now to just roll over sin until the next time they do something wrong. You know, the children of Israel, they would make sacrifices for their sins and they had to do it every year because that's as far as it would take them to just roll it over. Roll it over until the next year and it just had to be redone all over again. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Now, unlike the Old Testament sacrifice, the sacrifice that was made is perfect. Christ's sacrifice is once and for all. His sacrifice was perfect. Now, I want to ask you, is your forgiveness toward others only for a time, like the animal sacrifice, or your forgiveness, excuse me, like that sacrifice that was made in the Old Testament, is your forgiveness just for a while? Or whenever you forgive somebody, do you remember it no more? Push it as far away from you as you possibly can and think on something better. Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now our remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Nothing else has to be done. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for your sins and he remembers them no more. Hey, look at sin. Look at the sin that's in our lives. We look at people's trespasses against us. If we don't remove them and think on things that are good, it will turn you into a bitter person. Whenever I got back from the military, I was helping Clint feed cattle. And there was a person that we would have to go by in order to feed cattle on our feeding route. And Clint told me whenever I got there, he said, don't go this way. You'll end up running into them. Don't do it. They're a bitter person. And he was a bitter person. Everything that anybody ever did wrong to him, he would tell you about it and he would remember it. And it was just constant. And it made him a very not nice person to be around. Maybe is the best way to put it. I don't know. Not very pleasant. Don't be like that. Let it go. Forgive them their trespasses as Christ has forgiven you.